And Asian said, the wooden butterfly blooms in fire. So the wooden butterfly always blooms in fire. If you want to know fire, it is where the wooden butterfly blooms. You shouldn't, by clinging to views of humanity or views of heaven, fail to learn about in the fire. If you would doubt it, you should also doubt that lotus flowers grow in water. You should also doubt that there are flowers on branches. Also, if you must doubt, you should doubt the structure of the material world. Even so, you don't doubt. If one is not the Buddha or Zen adept, one doesn't know when flower blooms, the world comes into being. A flower blooms is in front 3x3, in back 3x3. In order to fulfill this number of members, all things are assembled and made grandiose. Invoking this principle, one can know the measure of spring and autumn. What the Dogen Zenji mentioned in the previous paragraph is confirmed here by quotation of an ancient teacher saying the Udumba flower blooms in fire. Then he, Dogen Zenji, comment on this. On the Udumbala flower always blooms in fire. So yesterday I mentioned Udumbala flower is manifestation of the principle of absolute universality. And fire means, in this case, every aspect of each aspect of everyday living. That is fire. So Udumba flower always blooms in fire means the truth is not far from everyday living. Truth is always in everyday living. That's why he says the Udumba flower always blooms in fire. Regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, it's blue. It always blooms in fire. If you want to know fire, it is where the Udumba flower blooms. Then he said the opposite way. If you want to know fire. So if you want to know fire means if you want to know everything, what you can see, you can hear as an object. Stove, table, flowers, pebbles, road, skies, trees. All things you can see as an object. If you want to know mountains as an object, you shouldn't see the mountain just as an object. The mountain is something more than mountain as object in terms of human eyes. So if you read the Sanskrito Sutra of the mountains and rivers, waters, I think in this book, Sanskrito, scripture of mountains and the waters, Page 89. In the first sentence, he says, the mountains and the waters of the immediate present are the manifestation of the path of the ancient Buddhas, together abiding in their normative state. They have consummated the qualities of thorough exhaustiveness, because they are events prior to the empty eon. They are the livelihood of the immediate present. So when you see the mountains and the waters, the Dogen Zenji mentioned, you should see them as the path of the ancient Buddha. Anyway, as a Buddha, you have to see the mountain as a Buddha. So see mountains as a Buddha means not to think the mountains in your head only, but also you have to totally accept the mountains like that with your heart and spirit. So Dogen Zenji mentions an ancient Buddha is a practicing Buddha. Practicing Buddha. Practicing Buddha means if you want to manifest ancient Buddha in the past and present future, you have to, they are manifested right in the midst of practice in motion of doing gassho, of doing zazen right there, okay? Before you poke your head into it. That is called ancient Buddha in the past, present, future. So past ancient Buddha is not the historical mysterious Buddhas who don't exist now. So I think the right in the midst of the practice, from moment to moment in motion, Buddha's ancestors are manifested. That Dogen Zenji constantly mentions. That's why it is not your business. Okay? Because if you poke your head, it becomes your business. But just being alive right in the midst of a practice in motion is not your business. You become exactly a certain, you become completely returning to the silence, perfect silence, in the very incipient moment. Nothing word, no word there. No rooms for your speculation to go, perception to go, nothing. All you have to do is just be there and do it. This is called undefiled practice. Undefiled practice. So that's why the mountains and waters, just you have to see, accept the mountains and waters as a Buddha, anyway, Buddha, together abiding in their normative state, because they are abiding in the enormous world, magnificent, the realm of the world, which we have never seen. So, mountains and rivers, so all sentient beings live together. There is a same and one ground where all living beings live together. That is abiding in their normative state. They have consummated qualities of thorough exhaustiveness. So, their natural mountains manifest its own quality, merit. Of thorough exhaustiveness, enormous, magnificent state of existence. That's why by mountains, anyone can attain enlightenment. By mountains, anyone can feel relief. Anyone can be free from the suffering by mountains, by seeing mountains, by being with the mountains and waters. So they have consummated, that's why he says they have consummated the qualities of thorough exhaustiveness. Because they are events prior to the empty aeon, they are the livelihood of the immediate present. So, because they are events, mountains and rivers, why do we have to accept mountains and rivers as the Buddha? Because they are nothing but the events prior to the empty aeon, means prior to germination of your speculation, germination of your human agency. Anyway, that is empty aeon, before you think, before your birth. Anyway, that is an event. Existing presence of mountains are nothing, magnificent events. Okay. Before you, germination of human agency comes out. They are, if so, what they are, what the event, what is the event, what is an event as of mountains? That is the livelihood of immediate present. So magnificent event, mountains are a magnificent event, eternal event, a Buddhist event. If so, we believe that it seems far from us, but it is not. Eternity is right now. Eternity is right now. That's why he says the livelihood of the immediate present. So in the every aspect of everyday living, there is magnificent event. As the mountains, as the water, as the gassho, as washing your face, that's why we have to take best care of them. So, that's why Dogen Zenji mentions, if you want to know fire, everyday living, it is where the Udumba flower blooms. So you should, if you cannot see it anyway, be quiet. And be patient, and then try to know it, learn it. But problem is that human beings are always irritated or try to deny if they don't know. If they don't know, they must be quiet, you know, because they don't know. Even though they complain about it, or even though they criticize it, it doesn't make that criticism doesn't make sense because they don't know. For instance, other religious people say Christians and the other religious people criticizing Buddhism. We try to buy this land. Many people criticized our group and the Zen Buddhism, and they didn't want to sell this land to us. But they complained about our existence, but how much do they know? They don't know about Zen. They know just a little bit through the mass media, the TVs and the magazine journals, that's it, you know. Nothing to be known. But nevertheless, they complain and try to be against us. It doesn't make sense for me. So when you criticize other people and religions and sciences, you must be careful anyway. Gently you should criticize. Gently. Don't criticize anything arrogantly. Because you don't know exactly. So, if you want to know why it is where the Udumba. Udumba flower blooms. You shouldn't by clinging to views of humanity or views of heaven fail to learn about in the fire. I I don't see the mountains and waters in terms of human eyes. That is humanity, view of humanity. Or don't see the mountains and rivers and pebbles and natures in terms of heavenly eye. Means kind of if you see the mountains and rivers, the heavenly beings always see the great halo around each mountains and each rivers. Halo?
Halo.
Yes. But that is a excessive. That understanding is too much. So I think, but in terms of human eyes, you don't see anything. That's why this is also too much. So that's why he said you shouldn't buy clinging to views of humanity or views of heaven. If you do it, you fail to learn about the anything as an object blooming in the fire. You cannot see it. So if you would doubt it, you should also doubt that lotus flowers grow in water. You should also doubt that there are flowers on branches. I think also if you must doubt, you should doubt the structure of the material world. I think if you start to doubt, think everything becomes a questionable, skeptical. Everything becomes questionable. Because you doubt that why the lotus flower blooms in the muddy water. Why does have a beautiful flowers without contaminated by the muddy water? Well, we have lots of questions. And also, we doubt why we become Americans and why you were born as Americans. You doubt. So everything becomes questionable. But no matter how long you make question to those things, you never know something clear. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions here, if you would doubt it, you should also doubt the lotus flower grow in water. You should also doubt that there are flowers on branches. Also, if you must doubt, you should doubt the structure of the material world. Material world means circumstances. So when you are born already, there is a circumstances there. So from where the circumstances come before you are born? Well, lots of questions come up. But anyway, whatever kind of question you have, you shouldn't doubt it. Anyway, they accept mountains and rivers as a Buddha anyway, day to day. Wooden flower blooms in the fire. This is the something you have to practice day to day. Otherwise, you cannot be, your heart never be generous. Your heart never be compassionate. Enough to walk in peace, in harmony with the people's hand in hand. No, you cannot cultivate this kind of heart or spirit. Because this is not the discussion, generosity of your heart or compassion of your heart is not created by the discussions or by the understanding of something philosophically or metaphysically, but by the something actual practice, by the actual practice. When you go to bed, you chant the verse and then go to bed. I think this is a very important practice. Okay? Very important practice. As I go to bed tonight, I vow with all sentient beings to calm all things, making the mind clear and pure. So that at that time, sleeping is not usual sleeping. You can see as an object. If you chant, if you accept sleep activity called sleeping in bed as a Buddha, then you can chant it. Then within, in the fire of the sleeping, Udumbala flower blooms. The intellectually we don't believe this one, but this is day-to-day practice. Then you can cultivate cause as a Buddha, cause of the Buddha. That is called body-mind. Day-to-day, so you have to do it. Is that okay? Is that clear? We always try to take care of everything intellectually or common sense, in common sense, always. So if we do this, well, you can accept the monastic rules, and then you chant this verse before you go to bed, but you don't believe. Because this practice is ridiculous, you know. But that, if you don't do it, I think there is no room for you to cultivate heart of compassion or generosity enough, which is enough for you to walk with the people hand in hand peacefully. So that is most important practice. That's why in the monastery we do always like this. Okay. So you shouldn't doubt. You don't doubt. Just accept and just practice. Okay. Well, I have done just like this for many, many years. When I went to a monastery, I met Hashimoto Roshi. I didn't have any idea of Buddhism as a philosophy, as a religion. I didn't have anything. But I met Hashimoto Roshi in a monastery, and I was very impressed by his activities, actions, from moment to moment. It was very pure and very attractive. Very impressive. I got a very strong shock from his walking, from his gassho, from his lying down, from his talking, from his drinking a tea, whatever he does. Anyway, there is something I couldn't explain it. But I felt relief by him. If I sit by him, I felt relief, and I felt calm and peaceful. I didn't know why. And so naturally I would like to imitate his activities and his behaviors, his gachos and etc. And also he always emphasized that all monks should gassho properly. I gave instructions to you now. So he was very strict to do that. So I didn't know what it meant. But I just followed it. So for many, many years, I do gassho like this, but now gassho is just blooming flower of Udumbara. Exactly. Gassho I do is no longer something object far from me. It's really something. It is nothing but manifestation of my whole life, past, present, future. including my parents and grandparents and mountains and rivers, circumstances where I have been grown up. Anyway, this is a gassho. I felt this is a really gassho. I do. This is really bow to Buddha. So we have to practice like this. Then naturally there is a cultivation of compassion or generosity and the wisdom there. Okay. Next, if one is not the Buddha or Zen adept, one doesn't know when a flower blooms, the world comes into being. So only Buddha and Zen adept knows this, Udumbala flower blooming in the fire. So if we say so, we are not Buddha, we are not Zen adept, so we don't know exactly. But Buddha and Zen adept, adept me is that they are manifested right in the midst of gassho if you do with wholeheartedness. Okay. That is, so day to day you become Buddha. Day to day, from moment to moment you become Buddha, you become Zen teacher anyway. And then if you don't doubt, if you don't believe and doubt it, and then if you don't do it, there is no Buddha. So if you do it, you become Buddha. Okay? So that's why here it says, if one is not the Buddha or Zen adept, that means you are not the Buddha. Okay? We are Buddha, you are Buddha already. So one doesn't know when a flower blooms, the world comes into being. That whole world comes into being. Okay? In other words, your heart, your affections, your emotions goes into it, into the gassho, into the boughs, into the trees, into the circumstances. Then the trees, nature's gassho's comes into your heart. So vice versa, obviously there is communication there. Then that is become the world comes into, that's why he said the world comes into being. Okay. When you cry, everything cries. When you smile, everything smiles. So even though you don't want to smile, smile it. Even though you want to cry, but be patient sometimes. You can cry, but sometimes you can't cry. But if you want to cry, maybe secretly you can cry. This is permissible anyway. But where is the praise? Which the crying is permissible secretly. I don't know where. But anyway, as best as you can, we shouldn't cry even though we want to cry. Anyway, smile and be patient. Otherwise, everybody cries. Everybody cries. I think nothing to do for us. Nothing to develop for anything. So, we try. And we try to walk together for long, everlastingly. Anyway, in order to do this, I think we must be patient. We must practice patience and zealousness and offering the six parameters. Anyway, so that is the world comes into being. Okay. A flower blooms is in front 3x3, in back 3x3. I think if you see the book record, number 35, I don't have a broken record now, so I think you should see later. Number 35, there is a story about Manjushri's talking about eternity expressed as in front 3x3, in back 3x3, means that is eternity, exhaustiveness, boundlessness. So flower blooms, your presence is anyway in front 3x3, in back 3x3. Even though you see your front, it's eternal, it's boundless. Even though you see your back behind, it is eternal. So you cannot judge, evaluate your life quickly. So that's why, because within your life, there is a flower blooms, okay? Udumbara flower blooms. So flower blooms is in front 3x3, in back 3x3. In order to fulfill this number of members, all things are assembled and made grandiose. I think if one flower blooms, in the realm of Gassho, I think myriad beings exist. And also within each of the myriad beings, there is the Udumba flower blooming. In other words, if you see the moon, full moon, in the full moon, there are many myriad beings there. And simultaneously, myriad full moons exist in the whole world. You countless, numberless. So, and then all myriad beings come together and create the world as a grandiose, a magnificent world. This is called moon you are looking at. This is called the subject of who look at moon. So it's magnificent world, magnificent being, magnificent present. That here says, in order to fulfill this number of members, all things are assembled and made grandiose. So tables, notebooks, and the lamps, the incense, and whatever they are magnificent world. So if you, invoking this principle, one can know the measure of spring and autumn. Invoking this principle, this principle already mentioned, have been mentioned by Dogen's in this paragraph. In each of aspect of human everyday living, Udumba flower always blooms. Means the Buddha is manifested there. That is a principle. This is a principle. That principle is not something objective by what you can discuss, but something you have to do practically, day to day. When you want to manifest Buddha, you should do Gassho properly. If you want to know Gassho, in which the Buddha exists, you have to do Gassho properly. Anyway, do Gassho properly. So it's completely beyond discussions. Just do it. There are lots of koans in the Book of Record or Book of Equanimity. I think Book of Equanimity will be published pretty soon by Zen Center in San Francisco. There is one koan, all sentient beings return to one. Where does one return to? Okay. And then Joshua Zen Master says, when I was in a city, I made the shirts. It weighed 7 pounds that he mentions. So, where does one return to? All sentient beings return to one, or all sentient beings they originate from one. We understand this one. But where does one return to? Means one return to each aspect of everyday living, because Udumbao flower blooms there. So, where does one return to? So one return to each event of everyday living. That's it. So what does it mean? What does it mean? So he said, I made a shirt, its weight 7 pounds, means completely keep your mouth shut, you know, because no matter how long you discuss about that shirt, you know, 7 pounds of shirt is ridiculous, you know, it doesn't make sense for you. It doesn't make sense means keep your mouth shut and just be there. Means just do it. Just do it. Or another koan is Joshua Zen Master, really great teacher, which occurs in Book of Record and the Book of Equanimity. Or Dogen Zenji really praised deeply him. Interesting story is that Basso Zen Master one day had the great chance to see the full moon at night with his disciples. Sedo, one is his name is Sedo, the other is Hyakujo Zen Master, Pai Chang. The other is Joshua Zen Master. Nansen Zen Master. Nansen is a Zen Master who killed the cat, you know. Nansen. Basso Zen Master asked the disciples, say something about this full moon night. You know, then Sato says it is a great opportunity to practice. You know, great night. Do you understand what I mean? And Hyakujo Zen Master says it is great night to offer the offerings to the Buddha. Is that? It makes sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Basso said, Basso asked him, how about you? And Nansen, like this, they push away the sleeve and left. He didn't say anything. Do you understand this story? Because Basso Zen Master asking, what do you think about this full moon night? Full moon night is not the particular beings you can pick it up. You know? If you pick up, it's full moon. But that full moon is already full moon, limited by you. So, Sedo and Hyakujo already picked up a moon, full moon, by them, and then he commented on this. This is a great opportunity to practice in something like that. It's not wrong. It's right. It's correct. But I think Basso point Basel tried to ask them is not something like that. But the full moon operating in the whole world, okay, before you poke your head into it. That is the point the Basel then must try to ask them. So that's why Nonsense completely push away his sleeves and stand up on the left. Means nothing to say. It is already the practical world. You must live in day to day from moment to moment. With your mouth shut anyway. That's it. So that is how do we explain it? That the nonsense showed, demonstrated by pushing away his sleeve and stood up and left. Is that okay? Another koan is the nonsense killing cat. Do you remember pretty well? Nonsense killed the cat and finally, Nansen asked Joshua, the master, it's too bad you are not there. You know, the day after, you know, discussing, Joshua came back to the temple and Nansen met him. And then Nansen said to the Joshua, oh, too bad you are not there, you know, last night. And, you know, if you were there, I wouldn't kill the cat, etc. He said so, you know. He said to the Joshua Zen master. And then the Joshua Zen, do you remember what the Joshua does? No? Yeah. He took away his sandal and put on the head and left. And then the people comment on this many, many ways. Because lots of questions there. What do you mean? Take away the sandals and put on the head. It is criticizing the nonsense or criticizing the nonsense behavior. Lots of discussion come up there from that story. But point of this Joshua's activity is that I think Nansen and the cats and the all monks living in where? Completely silence, you know. Because cat is Buddha. Nansen is Buddha. The Joshua is Buddha and all monks Buddha who are discussing about the cats. Anyway, all Buddhas. So everything lives in the realm of silence, so-called very incipient moment, called Buddha. At that time, nothing to say. Nansen said on purpose, oh, you are there, too bad you were not there. But it doesn't matter, not for Nansen, it doesn't matter whether Joshua the master was there or Joshua was not, and he was there. It doesn't matter. He just said to Joshua, you know. And then Nansen said, too bad to kill the cat. I think if you were there, I wouldn't kill the cat. But killing a cat and also cats are anyway Buddha. And also because by killing a cat, already something there. Monks be quiet. Monks return to silence immediately. Monks was completely astonished to see Nansen's behavior killing the cat with one stroke, you know. The Chinese is really demonstrated, you know, very exaggerated like this, you know. But don't imitate that. If you imitate it, you know, you are immediately put in the jail. So don't imitate it. This is a Chinese demonstration anyway. But that is a very interesting heart, human heart there. Okay? The very compassion there, very generosity there. Even though they kill the cat, but that Joshua doesn't criticize this one. Still, he accepted this behavior in terms of Buddha's eyes. And then he handles this. He accepted this event with his hand softly, compassionately, like holding the bunch of thread with nuts I mentioned before. If you hold hard, and you create more nuts, okay? So you have to accept it softly, gently, and work on it, one by one. Then, Joshua did, you know, he took away the sandal and put on the head. Means complete beyond speculation. What Nathan did, or what the cat, and what the monks did, whatever it is, all are returned to silence. At that time, it is Buddha. I think in terms of human eye, killing a cat is criminal. Anyway, a certain criminal, crime. So, even the nonsense, as a Zen adept, should take responsibility for it. So that is being against Buddha's precept anyway. So, Dogen Zenji mentions in the record of a thing heard. So this is very interesting. But anyway, Joshua see this event in terms of Buddha's eye, that's why he did like this. So same things here, okay? Those stories are exactly the same. So evoking this principle, that's why evoking this principle, you can know the measure of spring and autumn. That's why first, you have to evoke this principle, and then you have to see the spring, autumn, and summer, and winter. Otherwise, summer, spring, autumn, winter cannot be dealt with compassionately, kindly, in terms of Buddha's eye. So first, we have to invoking this principle. That is complete beyond the speculation. Something do it, okay? So, for instance, if you see Minnesota climate in winter, you hate it. But in terms of Buddha's eye, don't hate immediately. So first, invoking this principle. First, accept. Anyway, softly and gently, compassionately, severe winter, and work on it. That's it. This is a practice for us. But still emotions coming up. That's why you have to continually evoking this principle and do it day to day. You have to do it. Okay. Do you have questions? 5 minutes.
You were talking about the ants prior to the empty ants.
Mm-hmm.
You said that meant before your birth.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by before your birth?
Before your birth means before the birth of parents. Before birth means everything becomes one, that moment. Everything becomes one. When I see this table, I see this table, but actually I see this table and many beings. I see many beings. Okay? So many beings come and see it. At that time, how can I see this? That is a unity, same and one ground. That is prior, before your birth. In other words, the incipient moment of see this table. At that time, that incipient moment includes all sentient beings there, simultaneously, beyond your speculation. That's why beyond your birth, before your birth, that is empty eon, beyond empty eon. Okay? So in the realm of beyond your birth, there is only your actual practice in motion day to day. Because if you think of it, you never know it. So first we have to communicate. We have to open our heart and then communicate with it. Communicate with that. The incipient, the very incipient state of the moment. You have to do it. Go into, concentrate. Then there is emotions and affections and intellectual things that are coming up naturally.